Hello everybody, I hope you're all doing well. This is the podcast Living Out Loud, LOL, and I'm your host, Cheche Oyando, also known as The Locked Doc, or Cheyenne, if you like. And in this podcast, we discuss all things lifestyle. So yeah, grab your coffee or whatever you drink, and let's get right into it. Hi guys, I know it's been so long. I've missed you guys. I've really missed you guys, but where? Life was lifing. So I had to put this on pause. But yeah, I would like to say I'm back. But today we won't be catching up on everything that I've been up to. I hope to do that probably in the next episode, or if not the next, maybe the one after. But yeah, thank you guys for the people who messaged me asking, when are you dropping another episode? When do we expect more content from you? Especially people like from school. Wah. You guys, I'm back. But I hope you guys, the people from school could understand what was going on. But the people who I just left hanging, guys, I'm sorry. I don't usually ghost people. But it had to be done. yeah, but we'll catch up with that. We'll catch up about all of that later. Shout out to Sarah. Dr. Kimaiga. I hope I've said her name properly. But Dr. Sarah, she knows herself. She messaged me about 3 days ago regarding the podcast, giving me such positive feedback and encouragement. And then she also gave me suggestions, which I'm hoping to implement very soon. Yeah, so thank you, Sarah. And thank you, everyone who has messaged me. I'm remembering Sarah specifically because it was just like 3 days ago. But thank you all. So it's Women's Month. Happy Women's Month to all the amazing women. Feel appreciated. If you have women around you, just hug them. Tell them you appreciate them, because it's not easy. It's not. But we really, women, feel appreciated, feel loved. And I hope you're having a good day wherever you are right now. So it's not just Women's Month, it's also Endometriosis Awareness Month. And my very, very good friend messaged me with an idea that we should do an episode together for Endometriosis Awareness Month to educate and as we educate each other about endometriosis. So yeah, that's what this episode is. And we hope that you guys will enjoy. She's in the States, so we were recording virtually. So maybe I should give a disclaimer that the sound on my side wasn't 100%. It's like 87%. Let me say it's good, but it could have been better. I think it was just a hitch on my side. But it was a smooth recording. Just one take. We didn't stop anywhere. The conversation was flowing nicely. And yeah, and I would say I was educated. As Wahura Kabutha says, we aim to educate and be educated. So that's one thing for sure that happened as we were recording. And I really hope you guys also pick something from this episode. Yeah, so as usual, we will start with an affirmation. I've missed doing affirmations. It's been long. It's been such a long time, but yeah. So today's affirmation is, I am whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy. Wow. I actually felt happy just after reading that. So yes, you over there. You are whole, you're perfect, you're strong, you're powerful, you're loving, you're harmonious, and you're happy. And I really hope that all this continues to manifest in your life. Yes, so let's get into the episode. Thank you, guys.
Also, a number of tools and services mentioned in the podcast, as well as Alice's Instagram page, have been mentioned in the description box. So please do have a look and share with anyone you know that would benefit from these services. And yeah, please follow Alice. Thank you.
It's March and it's Endometriosis Awareness Month. And in keeping with the theme, I have a special guest. One of my closest friends, actually one of my longest standing friendships, and her name is Alice. I'll let her introduce herself better because I don't like spilling people's beans. But yeah, we've known each other for such a long time, more than 20 years. You know that?
Yeah.
Actually, it's like 20 years or something.
It is, yes. Actually,
yeah,
more than 20.
Yeah. All right, so go ahead, you can introduce yourself, tell us who you are, what you do, and three random facts about yourself.
Okay, interesting. So my name is Alice, and I am a fun, bubbly person who likes to meet new people. You know, I like to gain new experiences through travel, and I enjoy learning about new cultures and learning more about myself. So I've actually been on a very interesting journey, I would say, for the last about 2.5 years, just with healing on different levels and trying to, you know, learn who I truly am and what makes me happy. And so currently I'm not doing anything at the moment. I just got married and moved to a new place. Thank you. So yeah, that's me.
Nice. I can attest to all of that, especially the bubbly part, the fun part. Yeah, and you're a really good friend.
Oh, thank you. You are too, definitely.
Thank you. Yeah. And how did we meet?
We met actually through our dads. When we were like 4 years old.
Yeah. And yeah, that's how we met. And then at some point we ended up going to the same school, which was really cool.
It was. Yeah. It was so much fun. And literally ever since then, we've just been friends. Even if we, you know, haven't been in the same school after that or haven't been in the same town even, we literally have maintained the friendship. And it's going to continue for the rest of our lives.
Yep. I love that. Yeah. I really hope it does. Yeah, so that's Alice. And the reason that we decided to do this episode together is because Alice is an endo warrior. Is that the best way to describe it?
Yes, it is. Perfect.
Yes. Yeah. And she's gone through this for a while. You'll hear from her. And yeah, so I'll start with just brief facts, definition, just to so that everybody can understand what endometriosis is, and then we'll dive into the questions. So endometriosis is defined as a disorder where endometrial tissue is, okay, let me start with the uterus. The uterus has three layers. So there's the endometrium. So the endometrium is what is shed every month when women go through their monthly cycle. So when that tissue, that endometrial tissue, grows outside the endometrial cavity, that's what's known as endometriosis. And it occurs in women of reproductive age. Surprisingly, I didn't know this, but 10% of women worldwide have endometriosis. And the cause is unknown. However, there are several proposed theories, such as when you shed your endometrial lining every month, part of it go to the through the fallopian tube and grow in other areas. Another theory is that it spreads through a lymphatic system, or rather like or your blood, and goes to other areas. And yeah, those are just a few of the theories. So yeah, now we can dive into the questions. How long have you known about your diagnosis?
So I would say from about the age of 15, mm-hmm. I had very painful periods. I started my period at the age of 12, and it seemed like with every year that passed, my cramps became more painful. I also started to experience different symptoms that affected my body, especially during my period mm-hmm. and while ovulating. So mm-hmm. I would notice that my period seemed to be more difficult than other girls. So I would talk to my friends and we would talk about the different symptoms that we would experience during our period. And it always seemed like mine was so extra, you know, and mm-hmm. I began to question. From about the age of 15, I started wondering, why is it that I always seem to be so, you know, just worn out and exhausted, and the pain just seems to be on such a high level. And so fast forward to high school, and mm-hmm. when I was like 16 or 17 years old, I experienced what many endo warriors have gone through many times in their lives. Teachers not listening when I tried to explain how bad my cramps were. And this caused me to have issues in school, because there would be moments I just could not concentrate.
Mm.
And, you know, because of all my different symptoms, sometimes people would claim that I was exaggerating. And this caused me to feel so angry and misunderstood from a very young age. Mm. And I knew that my pain was not what other girls experienced, because all my symptoms made doing certain everyday tasks unbearable. So as I got older, I felt more fatigue, and my symptoms would prohibit me from doing things I used to enjoy, such as being active. As a child in school, I was one of the people who would be in all the sports teams, and
that's true.
I really enjoyed, you know, being the football girl, basketball, all the sports I enjoyed.
Yeah.
But as I got older, and you know, when I went to university, I completely lost interest in anything to do with working out or playing sports, and I was prescribed some medication that affected my weight, and this also caused my self-esteem to, you know, be affected, and people began to look at me differently and ask me very ignorant questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, a lot of us women face this as we grow and age, sometimes with hormones and just life, we can gain weight sometimes we lose weight, and we don't even know why.
Yeah.
And for me, later on, I found out that I was prescribed a lot of very dangerous pills and medications that not only affected my weight, but my mental health as well. And that's something that has caused me to, you know, continue this journey. As I said in the beginning, these last 3 years, I've been trying to just learn more about myself, try to be in tune with my body, because of the gaslighting that happens as an endo warrior when you're going to hospital a few times a month because of pain, and the doctor is telling you nothing is wrong, everything looks normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there's something wrong, and you know, years and years of being told that nothing is wrong, nothing is wrong, nothing is wrong, you're exaggerating, or, oh, you just need to lose weight. Meanwhile, it's the pill you're giving me that is making me gain weight.
Yeah.
So it's been a very difficult journey.
I get you, and I hear you. It's so unfortunate that, first of all, from the school aspect, I think when dealing with such issues, I think, first of all, teachers need to be educated, like, all-roundedly, on how to deal with certain issues, because it's so unfortunate when a student is coming to tell you this is how you feel. And it's not even just in, like, school institutions, because also in, like you said, hospitals as well.
Yeah.
When you say, this is how I'm feeling, sometimes you get such negative responses. I remember one time a lady telling me in the hospital how a doctor told her, like, do you think you're the first person to go through such pain? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you've come to the hospital for help.
Yeah. So
a lot needs to be done. And maybe a lot of it, maybe we'll have this discussion again another day, but maybe a lot of it also has to do with women were supposed to be strong, especially Black women.
Yeah.
We see that a lot of Black women, yeah. But we'll have that discussion another day. So,
we need to.
So, what did you know prior to your diagnosis?
Mm-hmm.
How much information, or had you ever had anything about endometriosis, or did you know anyone who had it?
So, interestingly, you know, because of just through my journey being misdiagnosed with so many things, you know, diagnosed me with IBS, because the symptoms of IBS are very similar to the symptoms of endometriosis. They misdiagnosed me with PCOS because I had cysts. So they've misdiagnosed me with quite a few things. And during that time, I did a lot of Googling. So Google was my best friend. And I just tried to learn about all the different symptoms I was having. And as I got older, the thing that kept popping up is endometriosis. And I was like, what's this endometriosis? I haven't really heard about anyone who has this. And so I continued to do the research over the years, and I actually decided to write a blog piece about it because I could see that so many people were being impacted by this, and there was not enough education and so many misconceptions. So I decided to do my own research and interview some ladies who have endometriosis, and that kind of solidified that feeling in my heart that this is what I have. Unfortunately, one of the only ways to, you know, be diagnosed with endometriosis is through a laparoscopy. And I'll admit I was afraid to go for the surgery, but at the same time I felt excited because I thought that, you know, this is probably what I have. In my heart, I feel like this is what I have. But because of being gaslit for so long, I'm like, am I just imagining this pain? Is this pain even as bad as I feel? And so, you know, I went through so many doctors. I went through over 10, 15 doctors, over 20 medications. And it led me to an amazing doctor called Dr. Muzaura in Aga Khan Hospital. And she was, I felt like she was the first doctor who truly listened to me and understood me. She was the beginning of my healing journey. And we went through different things to try see, oh, is it endometriosis? Could it be something else? And we eventually decided to do the laparoscopy. And thankfully, during the laparoscopy, they found the endometriosis. And yeah, so I finally got my answer. And yeah. I was like, okay, so I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
And I tried to, you know, talk to the ladies in my family before that. I tried to see, okay, do I have maybe some aunties who have mm-hmm. these problems or some cousins? And I do have my aunt who has very, very similar symptoms to me, but she's mm-hmm. never been diagnosed. And yeah. I also have some cousins who have some period issues, but more on the side of PCOS.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I don't have anyone else in my family who's been diagnosed with endometriosis. I was the first one. But through talking to people and educating them, they've also known someone. They're like, oh, my sister has this, or oh, my cousin, or oh, my friend has this. And then you kind of get the train rolling on the education, and people start to realize, wow, this actually might be what I'm having difficulty with. And then when you find the right doctor is when you can find the right answers finally.
That's true. Okay, that's nice. You mentioned laparoscopy. So yes. I just want to define it.
Yes.
So laparoscopy is, okay, in endometriosis, it can be diagnostic, and it can also be a form of treatment. So diagnostic, so what it is basically a camera. I'm really trying to explain it like in the most lay term possible. So basically a camera is inserted, and then you can now see where the growth of this endometrial tissue is. And then that's how they diagnose, they are able to make a diagnosis.
And then surgically, you basically cut off the endometrial tissue from where it's not meant to be. So luckily, this laparoscopy can be done at the same time. It could be like when you get your diagnosis, you're also treating it.
So you said you mentioned you had gone to 20 around several doctors. With after this was as a span of how many years roughly?
I would say I started going to the doctor when I was about 14 or 15 is when my cramps were so bad that the over-the-counter medicine wouldn't really help me. Mm-hmm. So I would have to keep going to the emergency room because my pain was so extreme, or because my symptoms were so bad that no over-the-counter medicine was helping.
So apart from the pain, did you experience any abnormal bleeding in between your menstrual cycle? And by abnormal, I define abnormal bleeding as abnormal in duration, so taking longer than it should, in terms of the timing. So you're having it not only when you're on your cycle, in between your cycles. And what have I said? I've said in terms of duration, I've said in terms of...
And in terms of amount, meaning you're having heavier periods than usual. Yeah.
Yes, time. Yes. So I would say for me, because everyone's endometriosis can manifest differently. For me personally, there was several months I had my period twice in a month.
Mm-hmm.
So a common symptom is short menstrual cycles, for instance, 27 days, and heavy menstrual periods that last over 7 days. So my periods always lasted more than my friends' periods. And I could have a period for a week, 7 days, and my period would go the next day and then come back.
Yeah.
So it's like every single time I had a period, it would go for like a week or five to 7 days, and then it would stop for 1 or 2 days, and then it would start again. And okay. Some other symptoms included like just the heavy periods, the constipation, nausea, bloating. As I got older, pain during or after sex. Ladies also experience problems conceiving or infertility. We also experience pain with urination or bowel movements. So that's why, you know, endometriosis is often misdiagnosed, because of things like those painful bowel movements and the constipation or the diarrhea. They think it's IBS.
IBS being irritable bowel syndrome.
And for endometriosis, there's actually four stages. So the first stage is minimal, where you have just a few superficial implants. And this is when the membrane that lines the abdomen is infiltrated with endometriosis tissue. And then stage two is mild endometriosis, which is where you have more deeper implants. And this is when endo is established inside the ovaries with chocolate cysts, which are otherwise known as endometriomas. And these have a risk of breaking and spreading the endometriosis in the pelvic cavity. Then we have stage three, which is moderate. And this is when you have many deep implants and small cysts on one or both ovaries. So this is a more deep infiltrating endo, which involves the organs within the pelvic cavity. So this can include the ovaries, the rectum, the uterus, and can significantly distort the anatomy of the pelvic organs. And the last stage, stage four, is severe endometriosis. This is when you have many deep implants, large cysts on one or both ovaries, and many dense adhesions. So this is a deep infiltrating endo, where organs both within and outside the pelvic activity are affected. So this can include the bowels, the appendix, the diaphragm, the heart, the lungs, the brain, and many others.
I was actually going to say, most people think that it only occurs around your pelvic area, but there have been studies that show but there are several patients who have also who endo has been found in their lungs. A good example is, what's her name?
She's a Kenyan celebrity. Jambi Koikai.
Yes, Koikai.
Yeah.
She had it in her lungs, and she had to go through several surgeries. For that. So, what do you wish, people knew? Knew about endometriosis?
So I wish that people understand it's not just a bad period. Endometriosis was actually named one of the top 20 most painful conditions. And I think this alone, this shows how debilitating it is. You know, it's not just my periods are bad. No, it's like, for some endo warriors, it's like every day is bad. You will experience, you know, a wide range of symptoms that affect your everyday life, not just period symptoms. So, you know, things like the constipation, nausea, bloating, you know, even just the fatigue I think the fatigue is probably one of the most debilitating parts about it.
Mm-hmm.
I also wish that people had a bit more empathy. I think that unfortunately some people, when they haven't had experience with a chronic illness, they find it difficult to empathize because they just don't know how badly you're affected. I think that endo warriors have such a good poker face. I think we can be in like level 7 pain.
Yeah.
And I'm just dancing with you there. You can't even tell I'm on that level 7, honey.
Yeah.
Like there's levels to it. And, you know, when it now gets to that level 8, 9 pain is when I need to be in hospital.
Yeah.
I need to be like in the drip because it's just, I can't do anything literally. And I hate around people when I'm in so much pain because mm-hmm. the pain gets so bad that I'm literally like moaning and groaning in pain. I can't even talk.
Yeah.
I can't be myself at all. And I don't like people seeing me in that state. And I feel like a lot of endo warriors can feel that.
I once had
a boss who said endometriosis, isn't that just a glorified period?
Oh my days, no way.
She was a woman. So I think that always adds it adds to the depression. Mm-hmm. And the anxiety that endo warriors face. Unfortunately, there are very high cases of depression and anxiety in women with endometriosis. And, you know, you can attribute that to just the years of searching for answers, the years of being misunderstood by everyone around you. And when you finally get that doctor who listens and you finally get that diagnosis, mm-hmm. you feel so validated. And that's why that's now the beginning of your healing journey. And I wish people also understood the importance of support.
Yeah.
You know, just the understanding. I think that when you have a chronic illness, you often get so frustrated and angry, and you kind of let it out on your friends and family sometimes,
mm-hmm.
or just those closest to you, maybe those who live with you or your mm-hmm. partner, you know. And sometimes we just need that understanding that we're lashing out because we're in pain.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And chronic pain makes you angry. People don't get True. It. Like chronic yeah. pain makes you so angry because you see everyone else living their life and mm-hmm. you have, you know, an invisible disability, and it takes you to hospital hundreds of times a year, to the emergency room. It takes you to the surgery table, and it makes you go through mood swings, and you have these difficult moments where you can't show up for your friends and family. And sometimes that gets difficult because people get mad at you and they may not necessarily understand why you couldn't show up.
Yeah.
And that leads to more isolation. So I wish that friends and family could be more supporting and just understanding that this is not my wish. Like,
yeah.
I want to come and spend time with you. I want to, like, be able to talk more. I want to be able to run and jump and play like I used to. But,
mm-hmm.
like, I feel like a whole different person because of all the pain that my body goes through. And you're not going to know every time I'm in pain, you know,
mm-hmm.
because I'm in pain almost every day. So I've become good at masking my pain, especially the probably like from level 7 down, I can mask that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I do wish that we had more support and understanding. But one thing I have to say about this is, you know, after I did my laparoscopy, Dr. Mudaura told me about another doctor who is an endometriosis specialist. His name mm-hmm. is Dr. Muteshi, and he has also been just, I don't even know what word to describe, but he has been amazing with just helping me through this journey. A very patient, amazing doctor who is so driven about mm-hmm. empowering endo warriors and, you know, providing the best treatment for when endo warriors, and he's really, really working hard to, you know, give a platform and a safe space for us to just come and, you know, learn more about our bodies and possible treatments. So yeah. He actually connected me with a lady named Elsie Wandera, and mm-hmm. she's the founder of the Endometriosis Foundation of Kenya, and she has also worked so hard for so many years to create a platform for all endo warriors in Kenya and beyond, just to have a safe space. You know, we have a Telegram group where we all get to talk. Even Dr. Muteshi is on the group. He answers questions in there. And, you know, we all just have a safe space. We can ask, you know, those. So some other people may find them embarrassing, you know, for example, asking, oh, guys, what do you do when the sex is too painful, you know? Guys, what do you do when your bowel movements are too painful? You know, how was this pill for you? How was this medication for you? So I feel like it's so important to have a community and a platform where you have people who are going through the same thing. And then you top that with an amazing doctor who's literally working so hard and taking so much extra time to just be accessible. You know, that makes such a big difference, because we can't just pay every time we want to ask the doctor a question.
That's true.
It's not possible. So the fact that he's made himself available to us endo warriors, to the point where he'll even answer questions and give us advice on that group, it's truly a blessing.
That's nice. Maybe at the end of the podcast you can tell me how, if anyone who's dealing with endo, how they can join your community. Because I think one of my questions was, are there any support groups? But I think you've answered that perfectly. So if anyone is dealing with that, maybe we can find a way to get them into your community, because I believe that's so important.
It is, most definitely.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about treatment. So first of all, treatment varies, and there are so many factors the treatment relies on so many factors. For example, the age of the patient. A person like of our age, we wouldn't want them to go through a hysterectomy, which is
exactly
like the total removal of the uterus, because they may want to bear children, even if at the time they're saying no, they don't want, but that can always change. So a hysterectomy is never the first option for young patients, so it's usually done for older patients. And then also the symptoms, the treatments also depends on symptoms, the severity, like you said, the different grades. And then also now a patient's desire for future fertility. But then that's not really the first point, because as I said, I'm an 18-year-old right now, maybe going through the worst pain of her life. And then she decides, no, I'm done. Just do whatever you want. I just want this done, this over and done with.
Yeah.
But with time, she's not, what's the word I'm looking for? She doesn't have the capacity to make that decision at that age.
Yes. Yeah.
So I wanted to ask what treatment options, surgical. I don't want to mention the names of the drugs because I don't want to prescribe for people.
Yes.
What to do. But what options have you personally tried?
Yes.
And are you currently on any right now?
Okay. So I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, but you know, there's the four stages of endometriosis, and you can be stage one with extreme pain, and you can be stage four with little to no pain.
Exactly. So
the stage doesn't really correlate with the amount of pain you'll have. So for me, I'm stage one, and I experience a lot of pain, severe pain. So I've had to try a lot of different types of painkillers because some painkillers have certain side effects, and you know, every medication will affect everyone's body differently. So that's why it's important to try a holistic method. This is what my doctor taught me. Rather than just pumping your body with so much medication, it's important to try to do this from all perspectives. So, for example, eating right, you need to figure out, maybe it's good to have a food journal to see what elevates your symptoms or to see what causes you to have a flare-up. So a flare-up is when you have like the heightened symptoms. So for example, if you have like suddenly a lot of pain, suddenly a lot of diarrhea, you know, that type of thing. So I would say for me, one of the most amazing parts of my healing journey was finding a naturopathy place. And I found this amazing place in Parklands, very close to Nairobi Hospital. I mean, Aga Khan Hospital. It's like a yoga and naturopathy place. And they helped me so much. So on my first session, I had a talk with the lady there, and I told her about all the symptoms I was having. And because this is a naturopathy place, it deals with healing you holistically. So not with any extreme methods. So we did some acupuncture, we did cupping, we did a naturopathy massage. You can do yoga there, a TENS kit. So TENS kits also like help to reduce the pain a lot. Okay. So I have like a little mini TENS kit. You know, it's like an acupulsar machine that helps to, you just like connect these probes to whichever part of your body is feeling pain. Then it helps to reduce that pain. So my biggest advice for endo warriors is to heal your body holistically. So find the right foods that don't affect you in a negative way. And so the easiest way is to have that food journal. And then find a form of exercise that you enjoy that's not too hard on your body, because when you experience fatigue and maybe you go too hard at the gym, that's not really a good thing, because then you're going to experience even more pain and fatigue. So it's important to even just go online and search for exercises for women with endometriosis. That's a great way to start, so that you don't even have to pay to go to the gym, because you know, we already have so many expenses for medication alone. And in terms of medication, I try to take only when my pain is like killing me, you know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't take anything that's too harsh. Obviously, mm-hmm. there was a point when, you know, I was actually in pain, like level 8 pain every day for almost 3 months. And during that time, I had to go to a pain management specialist. And I was prescribed, you know, basically the most intense medications.
Yeah.
But for your everyday life, it's important to try and manage your symptoms without too much medication, if possible. And I think it's also important to have people around you who support you and understand you. If you have a partner, it's important to be open with them from the beginning. You know, it's a big fear of endo warriors that we'll never find a partner who understands us, because, you know, we experience so many crazy symptoms.
Yeah,
embarrassing. So it can be really hard to find a partner who you feel 100% open and free with. But when you do find that person and you can be open and just honest with them, it helps also to feel that acceptance. You know, you just feel more at ease, more at peace. Even when your family is around you, helping you and supporting you, you just feel more happy. And it's important also to go for counseling, because just through all the years of looking for answers and going through pain and having all of your friendships and relationships affected, it's important to have an outside perspective just to help you to go through those dark moments when, you know, you have some symptoms of depression and anxiety.
Yeah. So as you said, it's a holistic approach. It's not just do this and this.
Go exactly.
And
listen to your body. Like, that's why, you know, in this journey of mine, I've been trying to learn about my body, because everyone gets endometriosis differently, unfortunately. It makes it even more complicated. Even if we're sisters and we both have endo, it can manifest differently in each of us. So when you listen to your own body and you have your Kafu journal where you note everything down, so you know, hey, this is the, I need to stop having dairy because the dairy is what causes me to have this symptom. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's just listen to your body, find the right doctor, and don't even feel pressure to stick to a doctor who you don't like. Keep searching. Keep searching, because you will find the right doctor. And Google is your friend. How I found Dr. Mudhaura in the first place is on the websites for Aga Khan Hospital and all these other hospitals. I just searched for who specializes in laparoscopies and who specializes in endometriosis. And that's how you get your answers. It's a journey, but you'll make it.
Yeah, there's a destination. I wanted to say about the way you mentioned, like, your partner. It would be nice to have male partners, or rather just anyone's partner, speaking out and maybe educating other people's partners about how to deal with their partner who has endo. So I don't know, maybe in the near future, there could be a community like that, especially in Africa, where a lot of these things are not
taboo.
It's a taboo to speak about it with men. So yeah, it would be nice. What else did I want us to speak about before we go to the Mythbusters?
Okay.
Let me see. Okay, we can just go to the Mythbusters, yeah. Or okay. Do you have anything you want to add?
No, we can go straight to the Mythbusters.
All right. Okay. So the first myth, and you already mentioned it, is that the symptoms are just a heavy period.
Mm-hmm.
Many people think that it's just a heavy period. And what would we say? We'd say no, you go and get investigated. Make sure you go find a specialist, an obstetrician, and gynecologist, and go get that investigated, because you never know
what it could
be. Yeah.
And the further the more you leave it, the more it will affect your organs. So it's important for girls, you need to go to the gynecologist. You know, even when you don't have pain, it's good to know your body. You never know what may be happening there, because you may have, not to scare anyone, but you may have endometriosis and you don't know.
Yeah.
But when you go to the gynecologist and, you know, you're aware of your body, then you won't be caught off guard when it's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that brings me to the second myth, which is endometriosis always occurs with pain.
Yes.
So it doesn't. Okay, so the third myth is endometriosis. I think we already busted this one. Endometriosis only affects the pelvic region. No, we said it grows. It can occur outside the pelvis, in the bladder, the fallopian tubes, the lungs. Yeah.
The brain.
Yeah, the brain. Yep. Okay, so the fourth myth is endometriosis can be prevented.
It definitely cannot be prevented. In fact, we don't even know what causes it.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. There's no known
cause. There's nothing you've done to cause it. You know, sometimes people think, did you have too many abortions? You know, sometimes people come up with the craziest things in their head.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, Google is your friend.
Just educate yourself.
Yeah, educate yourself. So some people do have very ignorant
beliefs. That's true.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest ones is that pregnancy cures endo. Like everyone will be like, just get pregnant and you'll be good. It's like, I wish it was that simple.
And even if it did, which it doesn't, but even if it did, I can't be pregnant forever. Like, it would be such a temporary thing.
And you know why they say that? It's because, apparently with endometriosis, it kind of produces a lot of estrogen.
Yeah.
And so when you're pregnant, you have
progesterone.
Yes. So, for example, the pill I take is a progesterone pill.
Uh-huh.
So I actually don't get a period anymore. Okay. So the same thing happens basically when you're pregnant. You don't have as much estrogen, right?
Hi, I noticed something wasn't clear, so I'm going to explain it a bit better. So here we were comparing the levels of two hormones, estrogen and progesterone, in pregnancy and in endometriosis. So in endometriosis, you have really low levels of progesterone, and in pregnancy, you have really high levels of progesterone. So what progesterone does is it thins that lining that's usually shed every month. So when you have endometriosis, they prescribe progesterone pills. Please go see a doctor, though. Don't use this as a prescription. You're prescribed progesterone pills to thin the lining of the, rather to break those endometriosis lesions. Yes.
you have more progesterone. So those symptoms are basically a bit quiet for those 9 months or until you finish breastfeeding. But after that, the endo symptoms will come right back.
True. That's true. So what it does is it regresses during pregnancy.
Exactly.
So the next is endo always improves after menopause.
Yeah, that's also false.
Yeah.
and that's also like, you know, when they say, yeah, just remove your uterus and you'll be fine. That's actually not true, because you will still have some endometriosis symptoms after menopause and even after a hysterectomy. Yeah.
True. So another one is teenagers do not get endometriosis.
That's definitely false. And
yeah.
I think that I knew since I was a teenager that something was wrong. Honestly, I knew in my heart. And I think most endo warriors experience these things from when they're around 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Around that age is when you start eating. Some even a little bit before that, because some women with endo get their period early.
Early. For example, I started my period at 10. So it's basically anyone of reproductive age.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, the next one is endometriosis causes infertility.
I would say that it does. Okay.
It decreases your chances.
Yes, it decreases your chances.
But it doesn't cause, like, it's not like you have endometriosis so you're going to be infertile. No.
Even with stage 4 endometriosis, you have a chance of having a child.
Yeah.
So never let anybody tell you that you are not going to be able to have a child. You know, for me, I think that's also, you know, when you get diagnosed, you feel very afraid, because that is a common misconception. And where it comes from is that you do have difficulty. Some women with endo have difficulty having children, and some women with endo are infertile, but it's not all.
So the last one, unless you have one, is a hysterectomy is the only way to cure endometriosis.
Oh yes, that's definitely false. And when you just try the holistic method and you have a doctor who's honest with you, there are ways.
And if a doctor is telling you have to do a hysterectomy as the first option, I advise you to go to another doctor.
Yes.
Get several opinions. And a third, and a fourth, and a fifth.
I think that's a very, very good piece of advice. And I'll just add one, that endometriosis is a reproductive system disease. That is false. So endo has been described as a reproductive system disease for a long time, when in fact it is a whole body disease. So this is why treatments have been limited to hormones or surgical removal. And endo is a whole body inflammatory condition that can literally alter a person's nervous system and have severe quality of life impacts. So it's not just a reproductive system disease. Like, we have symptoms that affect every other part of our body, whether it is our head with migraines and headaches, you know, and even the psychological aspects, whether it's back pain, where even walking for 10 minutes causes us pain, whether it's the abdominal pain, digestion. So mm-hmm. even the sciatica pain, so there's just so many, many things. So it's a whole body disease.
Yeah.
A whole body inflammatory condition. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, those were my myths. Maybe you can tell us anything else you'd want to add, what you'd want people to know, and how we can spread the message of endometriosis.
So,
Yeah, and bring awareness to it. Yeah.
I would say that for all the endo girls out there, don't be afraid to be open with your family, your friends, and your partners. Mm-hmm. I think that that is the first step to educating more people. You know, for someone like me, you know, I've tried to be brutally honest with my dad and my brother and my uncles and stuff. Like, I have been so open with them because... Mm-hmm. I don't want to only tell the women, you know.
Yeah.
It's something that affects our life so much. And there's just so much stigma around, you know, talking about it, especially as an African girl. And I think that's, we need to shatter that. And you can start that by talking to your brother about it, talking to your dad about it, talking to your uncle. And even when they have their girls growing up, you know, they'll notice these symptoms. They'll be like, by the way, didn't Auntie Alice also have these symptoms? Yeah. You know, I mean, all these dots connect. And so I think that when you're open, you also gain more comfort from your friends and your family. And I would say it's very hard, but try to find a line of work or an office or a job that will allow you to also be you, because unfortunately it's so difficult to have a chronic illness and to also have like a 9-to-5 or whatever it is, but try to find a job that will allow you to maybe when your pain is really bad, they can allow you to work from home, or you know, some type of hybrid thing where like some days you can go into the office. And thankfully with my last job, I was able to work from home some days, and all of my bosses were males. And I was able to have very open conversations with them, and they were very, very understanding. And I truly appreciated that, especially after my previous experience telling my boss about endo, and she said, "Isn't that just
that was so wrong?"
I know. So that's why sometimes you can feel shy after having an experience like that. But I told myself, you know what, let me just tell my boss what I'm going through. And thankfully he understood. So, and I would say also thank you to you for having me on this platform. It's just been so amazing to talk about this with you and just let it out, let all my feelings and thoughts out. So thank you so much.
And thank you as well. Maybe a follow-up question before we close. Okay, one about how approaching the male, the males in your family, the men in your family.
Yeah.
How maybe you can tell us how you went about it with your dad especially.
Okay, so with my dad, he knew from a young age that my periods were bad, just because he knew sometimes I have to be taken to hospital, sometimes I have to buy extra medication. So as I grew up, he knew. And as I also grew up, I was, you know, I'm a very open person.
So for me, it
comes a bit natural to just straight up say, I'm in pain. Or just say, I feel like crap today, or just cry because I'm just so low. So as I now got into my early 20s, I felt very awkward because, you know, my dad is a traditional man.
He is.
So,
that's why I wanted to know.
Because
I think between our dads, I think my dad is more laid back.
Yes. Mine is a traditional Luo father. So, but he also is like, you know, he loves me.
He knows me.
He knows that me, I'll just talk and talk and talk. So, I just told him, "Hey, Baba, you know, I'm feeling so bad today." Mm-hmm. And sometimes I could see in his face he's feeling a bit awkward, but I don't really care. I would just tell him, you know, and I think he got used to it. And now I had like on my last to last birthday, I spent it in the emergency room.
I remember that.
Yeah, I was in the emergency room for my birthday. That was horrible. But when I saw my dad, he brought me flowers.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, that just made my day. So it's just, even if he doesn't know what to say, he'll probably show you in a different way, like that gesture of buying flowers, or he'll ask, oh, how are you today? Or he'll offer to buy you medication, you know. So sometimes it's not in the words, because some men don't know how to, you know,
express. They don't have to express it.
But they'll show you in a different way.
I remember one of my cousins, she started her period, and she was telling me, my younger cousins, one of them, she started her period, and she was telling me when she went to tell her dad, was just in shock. He didn't know how to answer. He was like, let me call your mom.
Dad would have reacted the same way if I told him I started my period. For traditional dads, it's very hard for them to have such conversations. Some of them will even just run away.
It's true. It's true.
But at least when you, because as a girl, you just have to say, even if this is so uncomfortable, I'm just going to tell him. I'm his daughter after all.
Yeah.
You know, like, he made me.
and it's part of the process of, educating the older generation about so many things, because they didn't have access to a lot of resources that we did, and they didn't have a lot of openness with their parents.
Exactly.
So they don't know how to,
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very true.
So the next question was about the workplace.
Yeah.
How would you advise somebody to bring it up to their boss that they have this condition? And do you do it like at the point when you're having your interview, do you ask them like, if this and this was to happen to me, what resources do you have as a company? How do you suggest, or how did you go about it?
That's,
but then again,
maybe
your bosses were more understanding. But anyway, you could still share how one could go about it.
Personally, I would not recommend telling them at the interview stage.
Yeah.
Because I feel like they would just say no. But for me, what I did was, you know, whenever my pain was too much, or when I was in hospital, I would just apply for a sick leave. And for the company I was working for, you have to provide a doctor's note and like a description to why you're not at work that day. So because they could see that track record of me sometimes being in hospital, and they can see that I have a legitimate doctor's note, then obviously they know that this is a real thing. And for me, it just started with a conversation face to face alone with my supervisor. So the point where I had to now say, okay, I have to have surgery. So that's the point where I was now fully honest about having endometriosis when I had to get like 2 weeks off for the surgery. And so even after those 2 weeks, I can't lie, that surgery really got me down. I lost so much weight and I couldn't, even the 2 weeks was not enough for me. And thankfully, just because of also, you know, so many people know Njambi and her story. And I think they know how serious it can get. And so they were so understanding. They were so understanding. And as I mentioned, all of my supervisors were men. And I would just set a meeting one-on-one and explain, just, you don't have to go into so many details, but we just explain that, you know, I have to have a surgery because of this. And you kind of see how the conversation goes with how they ask the question. So perhaps they'll be more curious to know, oh, what causes this? Or, you know, what can we do to support you? And unfortunately, not every workplace is going to be as understanding. And so it's very difficult, but I guess when it comes to the point where you have to take some leave, some sick leave, you deserve that sick leave. You know, so they should be understanding of that. And if they're not, then
that's not the right place for you.
You have to do the surgery, or you have to take the day off. And if they don't understand that, it's so hard, but maybe it's time to now continue job hunting, unfortunately.
Thank you so much. I've learned a lot from you as well, and thank you for sharing your experience with us and for being on the podcast. I hope to have you again soon. For many other topics.
Thank you so much. Like,
thank you.
You know, you've been one of the friends who's really is like understood me through all these difficult times, and you've been a support system for me, and you've given me the opportunity to reach out to more endo sisters out there, which is like an amazing opportunity, because I am passionate about, you know, educating people. And as we spoke about before, other endo sisters can go on Instagram or even LinkedIn, Google, and just search the Endometriosis Foundation of Kenya. And you can also search for Elsie Wandera. She's the founder. And she will connect you to the group. She will add you to the group. And
Nice. Maybe I can challenge you to, maybe you should try, you continue on your blog. Yeah, and you could also use your Instagram to, or maybe you can start a new Instagram page to raise more awareness.
I've been thinking of this too.
You should. You have so much information about it. And
thank you. And I think that also I'm not afraid to talk about the nasty details.
Exactly. I think so many people would benefit from it.
Thank you. I need to start this now. You've given me my homework.
You should. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
So we can end the podcast.
Okay.
All right. Have a good time.
Thanks, you too. Have a blessed evening.
Thank you so much.
Love you. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.